Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio, and ho, 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 it's Christmas Eve 2016, the 24th of December. Unbelievable. Where did this year go? Nuts. Anyway, we got a big show for you today. I got a bunch of things I'm going to go over with you first, and then we're going to talk about yet more underhanded, scurrilous, traitorous Obama and progressive and Democratic tactics here after their Electoral College deal failed. And by the way, that's one of the few forecasts I've been wrong on this year. I gave it a 50-50 chance of having to go to Congress, and the electors pulled through. And you know, I am tickled to be wrong. Tickled to be wrong. Because the alternative would have still resulted in a Trump presidency. It just would have resulted in a whole bunch of mishmash, a bunch of distraction, a bunch of cost, lost time in Trump implementing his plan, which is dismantling Barry's last 8 years of agenda. And I'm just tickled that it came out better than I anticipated. Although I was one of the few to say it was going to be a big deal, and it was. Much bigger than everybody thought like 10 weeks ago. Anyway, we're now past that. We're on the way to January 6th when the Congress should be ratifying the electoral vote. I don't foresee any problems there whatsoever. And what we have, and we're going to be talking about today, is the Democrats, and they're not Democrats, they're progressives, showing their colors. It's very important. This is one of the big things Trump has accomplished. He has managed to bring the crazies on the left out of the closet. And the American people are seeing it. And we're going to talk about what the effects of that are. We're also going to dive into the weeds of some of the things that Obama is doing on his way out the door. The shafting, literally. I'll use the words from the New York Post, which is a pro-Obama paper. The shafting he gave Israel just yesterday at the United Nations. What that means for United Nations relations going forward, and I love it. Like, you know, defund the United Nations. And then we're going to talk about what Obama is doing behind the scenes with his refugee program in his last 4 to 6 weeks in office. And also a little scandal at the Department of Energy that's coming out, like, you know, firing top scientists, Obama firing top scientists so that he can promote his global climate control, your wallet, control your life agenda. And we're also going to be talking about Obama abolishing the registry program for Muslim terrorists. Imagine that. You know, this is a Christmas holiday, so I'm going to reiterate what I've said for 3 or 4 years, and you can go back. You can go back through my shows. I have given you show after show after show with fact after fact after substantiated fact from source after source after substantiated source and interviews with everybody from the Clarion Project to Tostel, you name it. Barack Obama is a Muslim. I'm going to take away all the pretense now. I'm tired of this. You know, I have tried to be nice, saying that at the least he has strong sympathies. No, Barack Obama is a Muslim. He's always been a Muslim since his youth, since his training in a madrasa in Indonesia. A biological Muslim father, a Muslim stepfather, read his own words in his books I've gone over that on previous shows. I'm not going to do it anymore. But his parting actions here, never mind the Iran deal, never mind the continuing support and money to Palestine, never mind what he has done in ignoring and allowing the growth of ISIS, how he has ignored terror. We're going to talk about that today, too. Never mind about putting Muslim Brotherhood people in the White House and in top positions in the security agencies of the United States. Never mind all that. Never mind allowing 500,000 people in the Mideast to be slaughtered and hundreds of thousands of Christians to be slaughtered, sexually enslaved. You know, this is the... Remember, Barack Obama is so worried about women, right? Women's rights and gay rights. Never mind about the fact that he has supported countries and the Muslim Brotherhood and other, at the least, semi-radical and at the most, highly radical Muslim groups who persecute women through Sharia law, who kill gays. You know, while he sits here at home talking about transgender bathrooms. But his demonstration of his Muslim ties here in the last few weeks of his administration, when it doesn't matter anymore, when the politics of it all doesn't mean anything to him, and he can kind of flip his middle finger and say, this is who I really am. I've been fooling all you guys all this time. This is absolute, you can bank on this now. This is what he, never mind what he's saying, this is what he's doing. He's been doing it for 8 years, but now it's out in the open. All these people have come out of the closet since Trump was elected. And that is of huge benefit to America and most of the rest of the world. We're going to be talking about that too. Anyway, first of all, I want to wish everybody a merry, merry Christmas. I hope you have the greatest Christmas ever. I think we have great reason going into the new year for a renewed hope for freedom, for America, for American values. And that's not to say, and I've said this, I mean, that's not to say Trump's perfect, and that's not to say we're not going to have a bunch of stuff going on that with Trump that we're not going to be happy about. But overall, it is a huge beneficial change. And if you listen to my show last week, I mean, Trump's going to bring a wrecking ball to Washington. That's what it needs. I mean, those agencies and those departments, and we're going to talk a little bit about Department of Energy today and some of these others, they need to be reduced to rubble. And only partially, minimally rebuilt. All of that needs to be cut. And I think Mr. Trump's going to do it. And you know, we're getting a taste of his negotiating skills. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today too. But anyway, a Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope you have a happy, safe, and in all ways, and whatever ways you look at it, spiritual holiday, a great time with family and friends, and that everything about it makes you smile, and the people around you smile. Next week, I'm going to be talking about my prognostications for 2017, and I'm going to give myself a report card and share it with you on my prognostications for 2016. That means going back to the show from January, the New Year's show from the end of 2015, where I made my forecast for 2016, which were, well, they were pretty straight on. You listen next week and you can hear it. And then we'll see what I have, shall we say, what I contemplate that's going to be happening for, to, with, and around us in 2017. And then I guess we'll review that in 2018 and see how I do. What fun. All right. The second thing I want to say is a happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish friends. It's, you know, at the tail end. It's pretty much, she's pretty much done. I hope you had a great holiday. And I hope, by the way, because I know a lot of you folks listen to me from around the country, I hope that what I have been saying for, oh, I don't know, what, 4 years, 5 years, is that many of you have supported Democratic causes. Many of you have unwittingly been part of the progressive movement, not really knowing what it's about. Many of you have listened to the rhetoric and the lies and deceit and the red herrings of the left and thought you were doing the right thing. And many of you have thought that Barack Obama was pro-Israel. If the events of yesterday at the United Nations do not convince you that what I've been telling you for 4 years is correct, then nothing ever will. And if this does not bring home to you that your dealings, your votes for the Democratic Party and progressives are a vote against Israel, then nothing ever will. That's all I can say. All right. I also want to thank, in the last week, I kind of wrapped up my holiday book signing tour at Grand Junction, Barnes & Noble, and Idaho Falls, Barnes & Noble, and Twin Falls, Idaho, Barnes & Noble. And I want to thank all the great staff at those three stores and all the terrific readers that came in to say hi and inquire about books 4, 5, and 6, and all the great new readers. Over 2,000 new readers of the series since December 3rd, and that is just based on the book one sales, because obviously, unless you're starting the series, you're not buying book one. And I want to thank all the people who are continuing the series with the hundreds, if not thousands, of sales of books 2 and 3, and I want to thank all you many, many, many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks who stopped in at the various signings saying, where is book 4, 5, and 6? I will repeat what I told you all. I apologize for being late. Life got in the way. It is the way it is. Can't change the situation. However, books 4, 5, and 6 are coming at you March, May, and June. Stay tuned for announcements. If you are not signed up on the website, please do. They send out very few emails, but when they do, it's news. www.threadswestseries.com. That's threadswestseries.com. Sign up there for the occasional updates, which will bring you up to speed on the release of the books, any special deals, and the audiobooks, which, by the way, have just been hugely popular. These are USBs now. They are not CDs, folks. You know, most cars don't even have CD players anymore. They have USB ports. And these USBs are all three books. You can get book 1, you can get book 2, you can get book 3, you can get book 1 and 2, 2 and 3, or 1, 2, and 3. They have special deals going on at the publisher's website right now. They will be in stores sometime next year. And you'll start seeing them at a number of truck stops in the western states. I'm not sure when they're going to get in the eastern truck stops here over the coming months. But anyway, if you go to the website, this is kind of a trick. I didn't learn it myself. We're having some problems with the website right now, and our webmaster's trying to figure it out. But if you go to the website, when you go to the website, the landing page will come up, and at the top bar, you'll see audiobooks. Don't click on that. Don't click on the audio tab at the top of the page, because that'll bring you to the old CD site, and that doesn't help you much. Instead, scroll down the page, and in the lower left-hand corner of the page, you'll see the pictures of the new audiobooks, the USBs. Click on that. Believe it or not, that will bring you to a page. I'm not making, you can't make this stuff up. And because we're having problems with the reformat of the website and the code and whatever, you know, I'm not a techie, trust me, whatever's going on there, it will pull up a page and it'll show all the USBs and all that stuff, and it will actually say Easter specials. So you can look at it that either we're 8 months later or 4 months early, however you want. But in the meantime, that is our Christmas special, even though it says Easter. And it is close to 30% off if you buy all three books. And we're going to keep that going, from what I understand, through at least mid-January. And then it's going to go back to the normal prices. You can also download the audiobooks, which, by the way, are beautifully read by Jack Baer, big national voice. You can download the audiobooks on Audible and all the normal, you know, digital online channels, too. All right. That is enough of my book stuff. Now, let's get to brass tacks here. Number one, what did Barry do while on one hand he's talking about how he's going to help the Trump administration. He's going to make it so smooth. He's going to make it so helpful. He's just so much for the peaceful and transition of power, etc. Let's go over some of the things he did this week. I've been doing this every week for you now for 4 weeks because he is a lying liar. And he is a treasonous man. I mean, Barack Hussein Obama has broken the oath of his office so many times, has breached the Constitution so many times, has broken the law, committed criminal fraud and treason so many times that it would take me a week of shows just to recount it, although I have given you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of examples over the past years. But what did he do this week while on one hand telling us how he was so concerned about the peaceful transition and this electoral college and blah, 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 so on and so forth? Here's what he did. Number one, as you know, there was a terror attack. Actually, folks, there were four terror attacks and three thwarted terror attacks this week alone. In Germany, as you know, these poor people with kids and everything else at a Christmas market with little merchants, you know, with their tents and stuff. Like, you know, you go to a state fair here. I mean, just imagine that, right? Christmas market, these little merchants, some of them part-time. This is kind of, you know, they're selling their art or whatever. Kids are there at the Christmas bazaar. And this Muslim scum, right, this radical Islamist scumbag, inspired by ISIS, drives a semi-truck through the crowd, kills 12, injures 40, 18 are critical, a bunch of kids, several Americans, obviously many Germans and other European nationalities. He then gets shot down in Milan, like, you know, several hundred miles away, by the Italian police. And we come to find out he was on the radar of all these people all the way along, and he was a Tunisian refugee being the key word, who obviously had not been vetted by progressive globalist Andrea Merkel, who's kind of like Germany's Obama, okay? She is Germany's Obama. Anyway, now, one thing about Merkel, she grew up, her father was a Lutheran pastor, so perhaps she actually believes in some of these liberal tendencies. I mean, I don't think she's like Barry. She's not, should we say, Muslim-oriented. She's just progressive-oriented, globalist-oriented, no-border-oriented, and thinks she's helping people. Bottom line is, what she's doing is completely undermining Germany and putting the German population at risk. I mean, there's been thousands of rapes of German women by these Muslim refugees, including over 1,000 last New Year's Eve in Cologne. I don't know if you remember those stories. And then you have this terror attack and other terror attacks in Germany and attempted terror attacks in Germany. So that's number one. In Jordan, there were 10 people killed when terrorists stormed one of a big tourist attraction, an old crusade castle. Seven of those 10 were Jordanian security forces who eventually killed and captured the terrorists. And then in Turkey, the Russian ambassador and several other people were killed by a Muslim terrorist. And then in Arizona, there was a plot foiled just yesterday, Friday. This is a Muslim terrorist who is looking into buying weapons and checking out all the midnight services, midnight mass services. And that was his plan, go in there and wreak havoc at a midnight mass in Arizona. And then there was another deal that was scuttled just, I think it was Wednesday, in Australia. Five men were arrested, and they had planned kind of a similar deal at a church. And then there was another deal this week that was scuttled. That was also in Germany. These were two guys that were going to, two Muslim scumbag Islamic terrorists who were going to go into a shopping mall and wreak havoc. This is just in 1 week. This is what has happened. This is the result of Barry Obama not being tough on terror, not being able to name, quite intentionally, radical Islam as the enemy, not being able to, actually, he knows it, not wanting to, was really more accurate. It's not being able to, it's not wanting to alert the American public to the fact that we are in a global struggle between civilizations. And his ideology, his wish to basically transform America, he warned us 8 years ago, I was jumping up and down then, about what that meant. You know, transforming America to him is many things. One of them is to make it, as he himself said, Google it up. You folks that don't believe it, you libs that listen to me, Google it up. That America is not a Christian nation, that it's a Muslim nation. That is his hope. That is his wish. That is his prayer. No pun intended. And along those lines, this week, you know, as all the progressives come out of the closet, as the true colors of the Democratic Party get run up the flagpole following Trump's election, through the Electoral College, through them now saying, on one hand saying the Electoral College is not democratic, on the other hand saying that it should go to a court so the court can throw it out. Now, you know, how undemocratic is that? On one hand, you say it's not democratic to have an Electoral College. On the other hand, you want five guys or gals who are not elected by anybody, appointed by life, determining how elections are run. Seems to be something contradictory in that viewpoint, in that stance, you know, in that suggestion. But the bottom line of this is that all this immigration, all this refugee stuff in America, it's different in every country, but in America, was meant to do two things, and I've been saying this for years. Number one, immigration is meant to transform the electorate. And the placement of illegal aliens and the fact that they can't be tracked, we've talked about this on previous shows, you can type in the search bar, is about changing red places to blue places. About 4 or 5 months ago, I brought up, I didn't talk about it long, but it was a segment, about the fact that HUD, Housing and Urban Development, had now passed a new rule, you know, yet another executive order, that low-income housing was going to be put in upper, middle-class, affluent neighborhoods around the country. And that this was a fair thing to do, and this was social justice, and this was spreading the wealth and spreading the good neighborhood stuff. It has nothing to do with it, folks. putting low-income housing in neighborhoods which are otherwise red introduces a blue element to transform that neighborhood to blue. That's what it's about. The importation of refugees, in Barry's case, happens to be because he fully supports jihad and the Muslim credo and the Muslim faith. But it's also about transforming, just as he does and progressives do through illegal immigration. The refugee program helps them further their goal of turning red places blue. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Because what he did this week also is he abolished the registry for Muslim terrorists. In other words, Muslims who are suspected of terror activities or potential terror activities have been tracked. And this started after 9-1-1, 2001. It's called the National Security Entry Exit Registration System. Number one, he stopped really using it in 2011. Of course, the press didn't cover it. I jumped up and down and screamed and yelled, but nobody else really picked it up. The Department of Homeland Security, this is his buddy Jay Johnson, submitted a rule change for dismantling the program. And in the request for dismantling, it says it no longer helps security. Think about that. I want you to think about this. This is like in the wake of all these terror attacks and thwarted terror attacks this week. At the end of the week, the Department of Homeland Security wants to disband the security entry exit registration because it doesn't help security. Quote, DHS ceased use of NCEERS, that's the acronym, more than 5 years ago, after it was determined the program was redundant, inefficient, and provided no increase in security. Listen to this, folks. Nima Hickam. Or should it, is it Hockham? My producer's not. Nima Hockham. Gee, you know, I don't think that's an Italian name. I don't think it's Irish either. I don't think it's German either. A spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security said in a statement, the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, which, by the way, is an arm of CARE, which is a functionary of the Muslim Brotherhood, operating at will within this country and at will under Barry Obama and Valerie Jarrett within all the high levels of our government, they said, the registry is a failed program rooted in discriminatory profiling, unquote. And that group has worked tirelessly in pushing DHS to dismantle the program. Quote, this is the right decision by Homeland Security Jay Johnson. We commend him and the Obama administration for letting it be known that such registry programs are futile and have no place in our country. And that quote, by the way, is from Abed Ayoub, who is the legal and policy director for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. So that's another thing that happened this week. And then, of course, you know, Obama threw Israel under the bus yesterday by having the United States, for the first time since Israel became a state in 1940, it became a nation in 1948. It abstained from a Security Council's resolution at the United Nations, which basically condemned Israel for settlements not only on the West Bank and other places, but in East Jerusalem, which is called the Jewish Quarter, always has been. I want you to understand, because the mainstream mess, that's a Freudian slip, the mainstream mess. The mainstream press is not covering this at all. Number one, they are no fans of Israel. Number two, of course, they hate Trump. And number three, of course, they love Obama. They're peas in a pod. But the mainstream media is not going to cover this. But let me tell you, how ridiculous and how dangerous this resolution is. Number one, Israel can be hauled in front of international courts. It basically makes every settler in any settlement, really anywhere outside Israel's original boundaries, prior to the 1967 war, makes them a criminal, including all the Israelis that live in the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem. It goes so far as to make Jews who pray at the wall, which is a sacred religious place, not only for Jews, but for Muslims and other religions, but to make Jews who pray at the wall criminals. That's how outrageous this deal is. Now, the way the Security Council works, folks, is that you need 14 votes. There are 14 nations. And you need 9 votes to approve a resolution. But the resolution can be vetoed by any one of 5 countries, including the United States. And in the past, any similar resolution has been vetoed by the United States. For the very first time, the United States did not vote for the resolution because they didn't have the balls to do that. You know, Barry had tries to thread the needle, right? Still tries to play politics while showing the true colors of his traitorous ideology. We abstained. In other words, we did not exercise our veto, which meant the resolution passed. So, the bottom line is that this has put Israel in a pickle. Ironically, it has strengthened Netanyahu, who obviously is no friend of, nor vice versa, of Barry. And the one good thing that's going to come of this is that it has set up a collision course between the United States, Donald Trump, and the Congress, and the United Nations. And I'm all for that. I've talked about it many times. We need to defund the United Nations. The United Nations building needs to become housing for those that need it in New York City. And all those diplomats can go to Belgium, where they can be terror attack targets, since they don't want to do anything about it. And they can play whatever little games they want over there in Europe. I mean, the United States doesn't need the United Nations at all. It's a friggin' joke. It's an anti-American institution funded by our tax dollars. It's like paying the enemy to stick it up our butts. It is absolutely outrageous. Trump has already signaled his intent, shall we say, to turn the screws after this vote. So those are the good things. Those are the silver linings of this vote. But in the meantime, it does cause a problem for the incoming administration, which Obama loves. That's a nice byproduct. And for Israel, which Obama loves. That's a primary intent. And, of course, it strengthens the hand of radical Islamist groups, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Palestinians, which Obama, of course, loves, as does Valerie Jarrett and the rest of his crew. Additionally, this week, let's see, so far we're at ignoring the terror attacks, ignoring the thwarting of terror attacks, disbanding, or shall we say abolishing, abandoning the registry of potential terrorists, voting, basically throwing Israel under the bus. And by the way, this is after Barry said, looking into the camera with his big brown eyes, you know, kind of like you can keep your doctor type deal. And it was a video that started Benghazi. This is after looking in the camera, starting in 2012 and all the way up through Hillary's campaign until she lost, looking in the camera and saying, "I have Israel's back," quote. That's a quote. You can look it up. Quote, "I have Israel's back," unquote. Yeah, you bet. I have Israel's back with a knife in my hand is what I have. All right. Then, okay, gets rid of the Muslim terror base He gets rid of the tracking system. That's right. He disbands the terror-based data. As part of getting rid of the tracking registry that we talked about, he disbands and eliminates the database for potential terrorists in the United States so that they can't be tracked. The next thing he does this week, also back to radical Islam, Muslim leanings, I'm being really kind, he refuses to declassify and in fact classifies more of how refugees from Muslim countries, or refugees actually better said, from areas which are highly prone to terrorism, how those refugees are supposedly vetted. Now, the truth is that he lied to us before and said it was 18 to 24 months. And then behind our backs, I reported this to you 3 or 4 months ago, reduced the waiting time, the vetting time, to 3 months. Now, he's going one step further here, like, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before he's out of office, and he is classifying how they vet these people. In other words, nobody knows how they're vetted, if they're vetted, when they're vetted, and, of course, any information relative to that vetting as to any of these refugees coming in from Somalia, from Tunisia, from Libya, from Syria. Any vetting that has occurred of any of these people is now classified. Do you guys see a pattern here of activity? A pattern of activity with a pattern of consequences? Shall we say intent for that activity? You bet you do. The next thing he does, also this week, he signs an executive order which stops, and it was already in process. It had already been approved. There were already leases going. Stops drilling on 110 plus or minus million acres in the Arctic Sea and the Atlantic Ocean. Right? This is the guy who says he wants to be energy independent. Okay, you bet. And by the way, that's fairly difficult to undo. Trump will probably have to go to court to undo the blocking of drilling in those acreages. Okay, now, what else has he done? Well, you know, I mean, the entire left, let's face it, has become unhinged. This is a really good thing, because they've come out of the closet. Barry has come out of the closet on his love of radical Islam and Islam. I've just given you five. These are five things in the last week's, folks. The left has come out of the closet on their view that on one hand they espouse democracy, and on the other they're willing to take any steps, no matter how undemocratic, to achieve their political ends. The left has been exposed as to their lack of regard, in fact, their contempt for all of us, for common people, for the everyday folks, for flyover America, for, as I call us, the Bubbas, right? That 80 to 100 million of us who cling bitterly to our guns and religion. I mean, the left has become unglued. And in doing so, the left and the media, which supports them, which does their bidding, has shown and demonstrated and finally unveiled just how weak, pathetic, self-centered, egocentric, and arrogant they are, and how opposed they are to American exceptionalism, American values, and yes, everyday Americans. They couldn't care less. I've been saying this for years, folks. They couldn't care less. And as this becomes more and more apparent, as they continue to compound their contempt of us with more contempt of us, with their idiocy with more idiocy, with their thirst for power, with additional unquenchable hunger for control. They are losing more and more support, and conservatism, populism, Trumpism, whatever you want to call it, is gaining support. That's a good thing. I want to remind you, by the way, The reminder reminds me. So, you know, refugees, this is the sixth thing that he has done this week, folks. This week. This is not like scattered over, you know, a long period of time. Just this week. He is speeding up the refugee resettlement process. In fact, he is on target to now exceed 110,000 refugees. Do you remember when it was 10,000? And then he tried to up it to 65,000? Well, guess what? He is now on track to do 110,000 refugees. And the Refugee Processing Center, they have already, the Obama administration has already brought in 23,248 refugees in just the first 11 weeks of fiscal 2017. Remember, the federal government operates on an October 1 to October 1 fiscal year. So basically, from October 1 to now, they have brought in 23,248 quote-unquote refugees. That is double the 13,786 refugees in the same period last year. There's a guy by the name of Leo Homan, H-O-H-M-A-N-N. He's also a WorldNet daily news editor. He recently published a book. You should read it. Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and the Resettlement Jihad. Bottom line is, Obama and crew, Valerie Jarrett, his Muslim Brotherhood advisors in the White House, etc., etc., I mean the whole cabal, they want to get as many refugees in the door before Trump takes office as possible. The Refugees Admissions Program, which basically, by the way, I don't know if you know this, has run on autopilot for 35 years since Jimmy Carter started this, right? Of course, another Democratic, in his case a liberal, he was kind of before progressivism, but he started it. So this refugee admissions program has run kind of on autopilot for 35 years and been it gives huge authority to the president. He can determine where the refugees come from, who the refugees are, and how many we let in. Now, the good news, the opposite side of the coin of that, is that when Trump gets in, he can just cut off the spigot. So he should be able to cut off the flow of refugees, which is great. I don't need to remind you of what just happened in Germany, what happened in Paris, what happened in San Bernardino, what happened in Belgium. This is all refugees, folks. These are all Trojan horses that we and these other countries allowed to come in the door. Now, there's only one way to not have a Trojan horse come in the door, and that's not to allow any horses to come in the door before you can determine if they are Trojan horses or not. Period. It's the only way to do it. You know, if you're playing Russian roulette, the only way to make sure you're not going to shoot yourself through the head is to make sure there's no bullets in the gun before you start pulling the trigger. All right. I want you to understand that this settlement program that's been in effect for 35 years, it was created under the Refugee Act of 1980, once again by Jimmy Carter. It does not have to be renewed every year. It's on autopilot. It just stays out there until it goes away. And the way it was written, it never goes away. The Immigration and Nationality Act which is what it's called, basically gives the president unilateral authority to shut down or gear up any part of this program. So the good news is Trump can shut this baby down. The Refugee Processing Center reports that 3,074 refugees from Syria were accepted by the United States in the first 11 weeks of the fiscal year. They're part of that 23,000 I gave you. That puts us on track, by the way, if that was carried out through the full course of the year, for 14,500 refugees from Syria. At this point, in the last year, the last comparative period, a year ago, we had only brought in 676 Syrians. 676 versus 14,500. 97% of the refugees being admitted, 97% are Muslims. 99% of the Syrian refugees being admitted are Muslims. What happened to all the Yazidis and Christians, folks? Hundreds of thousands of them being slaughtered and enslaved over there, but 99% of the refugees we're admitting are Muslims. Wow. Must be just a coincidence, huh? Back in the spring, Barry cut the screening period. I was just talking about this, just so you can hear the facts. Cut the screening period on Syrian refugees from 18 to 24 months down to 3 months. He sent screeners to United Nations camps. Oh, the United Nations again. Boy, they're just such friends of ours. In Jordan. Set up a template that basically, this is how we're screening right now. I want you to understand this. This is what he just classified and made classified documents so nobody can track it and there can't be a big hue and cry, right? And for other reasons, too. So the template for screening now, for just a 90-day period that he has shortened it to, takes the refugees' story, their story of who they are. It runs a search of social media and government databases to see if the story can be refuted. Remember that since there's little or no law enforcement data available from any of these countries that are in total turmoil because of Hillary, Kerry, and Obama's policies, you can't get any data on these people. In other words, you can't find any facts that would refute the story that these people make up. And if they're trained by ISIS, trained by a terror group, of course they know exactly what to say in the immigration process or the refugee process. False passports, I've talked about this in previous shows, you can obtain them and they're beautifully made basically anywhere in the Mideast right now. And but bottom line is we don't have any clue as to who's coming to our country. Just like Germany has no clue and is suffering the consequences, and Belgium, and the Netherlands, and France. I mean, you would think we would learn. And actually, we have. Barry has learned well, but Barry doesn't care. He's motivated by other things. The other big part of the refugee population, you know, is Somalian, from Somalia. I want you to know the Somalian Civil War was over 20 years ago, folks. This is not like yesterday. It's 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Remember Black Hawk Down? And why are we accepting refugees from Somalia 20 years after their civil war? Search me, baby. Don't know. I mean, but we do know, don't we? We do know. It's part of a much bigger plan and doesn't have anything to do with humanitarian refugee stuff. Not a thing. Not a thing. Through the first 11 weeks of fiscal year 2017, remember, from October 1 to December 17th, that would be the 11 weeks, we took in 3,269 Somali refugees. That means we would take 15,550 if interpolated over the course of this whole year. At this point last year, we had only admitted 1,721 Somali refugees. Once again, a doubling of the number of refugees here by Barry at the end. 99.9, that's 99.9% of the Somalis that are admitted are Muslims. 99.9%. Okay. As we all know, Somalis have been involved in all sorts of messes in Minnesota communities, in other areas of the United States, and in ISIS recruitment. Nonetheless, we are doubling the number of Somali refugees with less vetting coming into the country. Terrific. The 3,000 Somalis that we've brought in the last 2.5 plus or minus months is outpacing the typical 8,000 to 10,000 that we brought in every year for the last two decades. And remember, again, we're past 20 years past the Somali Civil War. Where they're trying to settle these Somalis, they're trying to settle them in red areas, in red counties and cities in Minnesota and Ohio particularly. They're also trying to settle them in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Erie, Pennsylvania. Also, kind of the centers of red areas in those states. Do you see any pattern here? You bet. There's a guy by the name of Horowitz, an attorney, who argues, quote, "This is a clear violation of refugee law. The statute directs the Office of Refugee Resettlement, ORR, to ensure that a refugee is not initially placed or resettled in an area highly impacted by the presence of refugees or comparable populations. When making this determination, the director of ORR is supposed to take into account, among other things, the proportion of refugees and comparable entrants in the population in the area, USC 1522. That's U.S. Code 1522. Another place that they're targeting refugees, and of course you can't find out where these refugees, who they are, where they've gone, or how they were vetted. This is all classified privacy information. Okay. Texas has taken in 2,217 refugees, which is more than any in this fiscal year, the 11 weeks, more than any other state, and has been flooded for decades for more than flooded with refugees for more than a decade. In fact, folks, if you look at that map of the election, you'll see that the that entire southern band of Texas now, along the Gulf and along the Mexican border, is blue. That has never been the case before. I mean, if you look at that map, which is basically red coast to coast, and you look at Southern California, Nevada, New Mexico, and Texas, you can see what immigration and resettlement, refugee resettlement, particularly if you see those little blue dots up there by Minneapolis and other areas, the Front Range of Colorado, you can see what resettlement and immigration, illegal immigration and refugees, so-called resettlement, has done to the voting areas in this country. It's clear as a bell. Look at that map. Seven of the top 10 refugee-receiving states, and don't think this is an accident, so far this year were ones that happened to vote for Trump. That tells you they're red states. Texas, Arizona, Michigan, Ohio, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Kentucky. Notice, folks, Texas, Arizona, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania were all swing states. You bet. Only three of the other top 10 refugee, illegal alien destinations went for Clinton. That's California, New York, and Washington. As far as I'm concerned, they ship them all to California. California deserves them. Okay. And by the way, there's a there is, you know, it's amazing. Folks are just starting to figure this out, for God's sakes. There's a a blogger by the name of Ann Corcoran. Refugee Resettlement Watch is the name of her blog, and she recently wrote, quote, "Consider it the California model, it worked there," unquote, talking about illegal aliens, et cetera, et cetera. Because remember, when the census is counted, this is important, when the census is counted to determine congressional districts and congressional district lines and a host of other matters that comes to electorate voting, you name it, everybody who lives in that area, whether an illegal alien, a resettled refugee who is a non-citizen, any alien here legally, like on a green card or a visa, plus American citizens are considered in the population count to determine the electorate-based congressional districts and congressional district lines. Do you understand what the progressives are trying to do? And what's become now is blatant, blatant. There's another thing that she writes here, by the way, which I find very interesting. This goes back to the show I did 6 months ago when I told you about this new rule that HUD had bringing low-income housing into more affluent neighborhoods. I talked a little bit about it earlier in this show. Quote, "They're bringing the refugees in so fast right now, it's difficult to find places to house them. I've been hearing stories from my sources that some are being secretly housed in Muslim-owned hotels and being held there until openings can be found in local apartment complexes. Housing is always the key for this program. That's why I often tell people to be wary of government-subsidized housing projects being built in your city, because this is often a precursor to a refugee resettlement, especially if you have a liberal mayor at the helm of your city," unquote. All right. I think I'm giving you, it's a merry, merry Christmas. Things are looking up for the new year, and we're going to talk about that next year. But I want you to understand just how deep and dark are the deals that Barry is doing on his way out of Dodge. How's that for alliteration? All the D's. Deep, dark doing on the way out of Dodge. Hopefully, Donald Trump, his cabinet, and Republican Congress can deep six most of this stuff. They won't be able to deep six at all. And it's going to take time and money that, unfortunately, could be spent on making things better, making America great again, and jobs. That is going to have to be spent undoing the mess that Barry is intentionally creating on his way out the door. It is the way it is. Progressives are who they are. And Barry, Valerie, Harry, and Nancy are who they are. It is what it is. Water runs downhill. Once again, have a merry, merry, merry Christmas. Safe, happy, joyous. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends, your ham, your turkey, your Chateaubriand, whatever you happen to be doing or eating, and whoever you happen to spend it with. We will talk to you next week, right before the New Year's, with our update on how Reedy did on his prognostications for this year and what my prognostications are for next year. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.